There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Monday edition of Midday Mobile. Glad you're along. How long does rain hang along in the cold temps? We'll get more from Dr. Bill coming up at around 12:35. Lots to do in the next 2 hours. I just want to say as we get started, somebody's asking, did I delete my Twitter account? I have not deleted my Twitter account. I have not done that. Hey, listen, if also, a side note, if I boycotted every business that wanted to silence conservatives out there, the only things I would be able to buy would be like some heirloom seeds, freeze-dried food, and my pillow. So, no, I'm not. Now, am I watching it? Am I a person that studies the censorship? Absolutely. How Twitter and censorship, Twitter and Facebook and others are censoring conservatives? Sure. But I do ask that question, is that any different than the baker refusing service, you know, making a cake for a gay couple? I don't know. One of the things we'll talk about later on in this hour. We'll start off with AL5's Congressman Mo Brooks joining us. And good to have you back on the show, Congressman. And let's talk about the last 5 days.
Where do you want to start?
Yeah, well, I want to start on, let's start at the end and we'll work backwards as you're getting critiques coming from Republicans back in Alabama. Specifically, I saw what Governor Ivey had put out. Now, I wonder how much of that is political, but what do you, when you hear the governor of the state critiquing you, what do you say?
Well, I didn't hear a critique. I saw her words. But I never saw her complain about my representation of the 5th Congressional District in Washington, D.C. She made some statements that I don't represent the voices of all of Alabama, underscore the word all, and that's true. I only represent 14%. She stated that I don't represent the views of all Republicans. That's true. I only represent probably 70 or 75%. I don't represent the Masters of the Universe establishment wing of the party. And then she commented that if people in my district don't like my representation, well, they can run against me and beat me. And that's also true. That's what being in a republic's all about. So are you familiar with anything I'm not?
Yeah, no, and I've good to hear you put it that way. You look through it, and all these statements, it depends on how they're, you know, how somebody comes in to hear them. But if you just read them as they're written, they're all just factual statements.
Yeah, see, I feel she was probably asked by some reporter someplace to make a statement, and she did. And I appreciate her having done so. Governor Ray, by and large, has done a pretty good job as governor. We've disagreed a little bit on the COVID-19 shutdown, but that's been mostly it. So I'm not at all disturbed by what the governor said, since I agree with the accuracy of all of it.
There we go. Just joining us, Congressman Mo Brooks, our guest. Congressman, let's talk about, now we'll jump back to last week. And if I've seen a clip of you that has been sent to me, once I've seen it, 100 times been sent to me, where you're speaking, you know, at the rally that day, and people speaking of what words mean or what words, you know, in your interpretation meant. People have sent me the clip of you talking about taking names and kicking ass a whole bunch. And so when you said that, when you wrote those words down to read, what was your reasoning there? What did you mean to have happen when you said that?
I wanted us to fight for victory in the 2022 and 2024 elections.
Not physical, but fight the political battle.
That's right. And I think if you look at the whole speech, I don't know if you've seen it.
I have. I watched the whole thing.
It's bookmarked, if I recall correctly, in the middle of me talking about 2022 and 2024 elections.
You know, when you talk to people, grab a clip out of context and will say, when you said, now our ancestors sacrificed their blood, their sweat, their tears, their fortune, and sometimes their lives to give us their descendants in America that is the greatest nation in world history. So I have a question for you. Are you willing to do the same? I heard that, and knowing you, I heard that, I know exactly what you meant by it, but that is being floated out there as also you calling for people to give their lives in some battle that day. I mean, talk about that.
Well, that's honoring the founders of our country. That might be verbatim. On the other hand, it might be a paraphrase of what is in the Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson wrote. Certainly, that adequately describes the founders of our nation who put their lives on the line, their fortunes on the line, their honor on the line to help ensure that we have a republic that is based on liberty and freedom, not some kind of dictatorial kingdom, monarchy, royalty, as we had under the British. That's the sacrifice that they made to give us this country, which means that we've got a duty, an obligation to those who have sacrificed before us to keep it.
Yeah, it was. You were telling us what had, at least the way I heard it when I heard your speech, you told us what had been sacrificed to get us to this point. You weren't saying, it was almost like a measure of how valuable the nation we have now, the republic we have now, is. Am I stretching there, or is that in your?
No, that's fairly accurate. A lot of people, unfortunately, are not taught history anymore, and they don't know that those are the words that adequately described the people who risked so much to give us this country that has become the greatest in world history. And we need to honor that sacrifice.
Congressman Brooks, we talk about what happened after that and the attack on the Capitol there. Now in the days ago, we have Capitol police officers that have died in the riot there. Obviously, the destruction done, for me, unsettling view of our republic too, that happened so quickly that day. Your perspective from being there, help us understand.
Well, I was astonished. It had never occurred to me that this was even in the realm of possibility with Trump supporters. And the reason I say that is I've been around Republican voters now for four decades. I first announced my candidacy, if I recall correctly, back in 1981 for the legislature. And I've spoken at dozens upon dozens of outdoor rallies, okay? And Republicans, in my history, have always been peace-loving, obey law and order. They've never engaged in the kind of conduct that we saw on Wednesday. So I was shocked when I discovered what was happening in the United States Capitol.
Now, you and I talked, of course, right after this had happened, and I was kind of at that point trying to get your perspective on what it was like being inside the Capitol as this was going on. Now seeing the video from outside the Capitol, and listen, the conspiracy theories, takes two clicks with, the internet, you get 10 different conspiracy theories out there. But the makeup of the rioters seems to be very important to a lot of people. I've said this since it happened. I said, we're going to find out more as we go forward. But I wouldn't be surprised if there were outside agitators involved. At the same time, I believe there were Trump supporters involved. Congressman, from your perspective, what do you think?
I think that's an accurate statement. Louis Gohmert has been on TV. He's a congressman from Texas. Rick Allen told me this personally. He's a congressman from Georgia. We've also got other congressmen who apparently have received the same kind of message prior to Wednesday. And that message was from the Capitol Police that they are expecting Antifa, which is a radical violent element of the Democrat Party, to be there masquerading as Trumpsters and they were going to do something untoward. Now, I never heard any intelligence from anyone that suggested what they were going to do. And we have had some people after the fact who have been identified as being a part of Black Lives Matter or Antifa. And we'll have to see how all that plays out. But you can't expect that from Black Lives Matter or Antifa. I am really disappointed in the pro Trump people who engaged in this conduct, because it was a great disservice to our country, and it was a great disservice to the conservative cause. You've seen the backlash that the way the media and the socialist Democrats have used this to their political advantage. And that's the exact opposite of what you would hope would result if you're in fact a Trump supporter. I mean, if you were in the Democratic National Committee and you were trying to write something to create an image, you couldn't have done better than this.
Correct. And I think it's fair to say that what happens with the people that, and it's good to hear you say that, because I mean, looking through the stories are coming out, I mean, that West Virginia lawmaker, I mean, there are people specifically from the state of Alabama, too, that are, like, you don't have to do a deep dive to see that they are supporters of President Trump. I mean, they were in there, so denying that they were involved. But I don't know that that's reflective on the bulk of the people that were there, but the narrative is what you said. You couldn't write it any better if you wanted to link the president or you know, the rallies ahead, if you want to say, and then that caused this. Look at these people that reacted this way.
Well, I understand people are frustrated. If you saw my speech, you can tell I'm very frustrated. I'm angry. I have a firm belief, high degree of confidence, that this election was stolen through a variety of different voter fraud techniques. And so I share that anger, but the way to resolve it is at the ballot box.
You talk about that frustration over the stolen election and stop the steal and all that's been talked about. But here's the problem. I hear conservatives, I hear folks on the right talking about that it was stolen. You look at the surveys out there of Republicans and then President Trump supporters and the high levels of percentages of people that believe the election was stolen. Now, I think that's a problem in its own right, because I think that is hamstringing or could undo the Republic going forward if that's not cured. And I don't know how we do that. But second of all, that being laid out, you have people on the other side here saying there's no example of voter fraud. There's no example of a stolen election. If there's anything, it's a very small level, kind of like a pedestrian level voter fraud. This was not a stolen election. You've got two very different interpretations of what happened, and you have a lot of people in the middle going, well, what did happen?
Well, I would submit that those that are on the socialist side are engaged in propaganda, and I'll give you some examples. And these are the kinds of things that should have been addressed in public hearings, in investigations, in courts of law, but they weren't. In Pennsylvania, you have at least 15 elected officials that conducted an audit of government records, voting records. And in Pennsylvania, apparently, you can add up the number of people who actually voted and get a total of how many voted in the state of Pennsylvania through a system that they call SURE, S-U-R-E. So this group of 15 elected officials, one of whom is a certified public accountant who led the effort, they added the numbers up, and lo and behold, there were, according to these 15 elected officials, and they signed the statement, they found that there were 205,000 more people voting. Excuse me, let me restate that. There were 205,000 more people registered in the results of the election than there were voters who actually voted in the election. That's 205,000. That's a big gap between the number of people who are supposed to have voted according to the official records of the state of Pennsylvania and what the reported results reflect. That's just one example. I can go to Nevada. In Nevada, there was a U.S. Senate committee hearing headed up by Senator Ron Johnson, and they had a witness. And he said he had an itemization of 130,000 illegal votes that were cast in Nevada when the difference between Trump and Biden was 30-something thousand. Yeah. That 130,000, that was dead people who voted. 40,000 voted twice, according to the official Nevada records. Tens of thousands voted from out-of-state addresses or from non-existent addresses or from addresses that were businesses where, of course, there is no right to have a residency. So that, I mean, and that wasn't fully litigated, and it was not presented in such a fashion that anything was going to be done to change the election result. But we just can't have 205,000 apparently illegal votes in Pennsylvania, 130,000 illegal votes in Nevada, and expect that to continue.
You know, Congressman, I've heard people or read people said, well, here's the problem, that the numbers they were working off of was like the total of registered voters for, I don't know, a year ago, and a bunch of people registered in between. I see stories like that.
What was the registered voters list?
Well, and they
it
said
was the list of people who actually voted, not the registered voters list. So
compared
in Pennsylvania,
with,
they apparently keep a list of people who actually showed up at the polls and voted.
But they compared
that's
your
that. Number.
Okay, you have the number of people that voted at the polls compared to what the listed
compared
number
compared to the reported results.
Gotcha. Okay. So there are more people reported than showed up to vote.
205,000 more reported.
And what do they say?
If you add up the election totals, who got how many votes, versus how many people actually voted, according to the Pennsylvania state government records.
You know, what I want, and we've known each other long enough, I would like the truth here. You know, that's and the frustrating thing as a citizen and a voter is to hear one side saying that, look, here's this example, and then have no specific response from the other side to say, well, those 205,000 over are because of XYZ. That's what I would want to hear, not because of the outcome of the election, but because of where it puts us in this republic. If people don't have the confidence in the vote, I have people text me every day, Congressman, and say, I'm not voting anymore because of this. Now, I think that is a bad decision, but that's a big problem for our country.
It is a huge problem, and I hope that people will go to the polls, because that is our only hope for changing things. If you don't go to the polls, then you're conceding to evil. And aside, when we talk about Pennsylvania, I think there were 6 or 7 congressmen who co-sponsored the objection to the Pennsylvania election submittal, in large part because of the report of those 15 public officials. And so apparently, as of at least last Wednesday, these duly elected United States congressmen from the state of Pennsylvania still felt that the voter fraud in Pennsylvania was so bad that the results should not be accepted. And I should add that over 60% of the Republican conference, the Republican congressmen in Washington, D.C., felt similarly.
Congressman Brooks, and people were asking, too, if we can direct to these reports. So if we get a chance sometime, or somebody on your staff, we can get some links, and we'll send those to listeners that are interested in the Pennsylvania story and the Nevada story. I can get those.
I'm pretty sure you can Google
it. Google them up. All right. So Dalton,
it'll come up.
All right, Dalton, if you can work those up, we'll put those on our social media. Another question that I get when you're on with me is your reference to socialist Democrats. And I'll have Democrats that are listeners to the show say that they're upset by being called a socialist Democrat. Your thought process on that, why you use that term?
If they don't want to be a socialist, don't be a Democrat, because the National Party is socialist.
Meaning that everybody who's a Democrat is socialist, or the party leadership, or where are you with that?
The party as an entity, as an organization. Look at how well, by way of example, an open socialist did in the 2016 and 2020 Democratic primary. And look at the gains that they have made from 2012 to 2016 to 2020, they being the socialists. The Democratic Party, if it has not morphed into the totally socialist party, it is headed in that direction. And then you look at the policies. Gosh, can you name examples of policies in which the Democrats have actually supported free enterprise over socialism?
There it is. All right. That's your reasoning for calling the party the Democrat Socialist.
Well, the Socialist Democrats.
Socialist Democrat.
It as an adjective.
Okay. Correct. And Congressman, before we wrap up here, anything you're hearing on this, is this just a wish list thing for Speaker Pelosi, this impeachment, or do you think this is going to gain traction?
I believe that the Democrats are serious. I'm at an airport now to fly back to Washington, D.C. I'm in anticipation of an impeachment vote on Wednesday. I suspect that it will pass through the House of Representatives if there is a vote. I don't know what high crime or misdemeanor or treason or bribery allegation they've got, because after all, Donald Trump specifically used the word peaceful with respect to the march and demonstration at the United States Capitol. So how can you accuse him of inspiring that kind of violence when he is asking you to be peaceful in your conduct, which, of course, 99% of the people there did?
So we'll see
how it plays out. The Democrats are also going to use what they normally do. They're going to use every legal device to sue or file complaints of some kind or another against every one of the 100-and-something Republicans that they want to target who voted for more honest and accurate elections or spoke in favor of more honest or accurate elections.
All right. So Wednesday is the date that you see that happening in Washington?
Well, that's the latest information we have at this point, which is why I'm about to get on an airplane.
There we go. Congressman, thank you for your time. We'll be checking back with you very soon.
All right. Y'all take care.
All right. We'll do. AL5's Congressman Mo Brooks joining us right here on Midday Mobile. We'll be right back. Right, 1229 FM Talk 106.5. Went late there, but we'll go to the news, and then we'll come right back. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, joins us. Hadn't even had a chance to talk about the game. Dalton walked in and maybe predict the score of tonight's game. We'll see. Is this for prizes or something, Dalton? What are we doing with this? We ain't even had a chance to talk about the game. All right. News next. Dr. Bill's forecast, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1235 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Stream it online, fmtalk1065.com. Also get podcast aplenty there. 54 hours a week of live local programming. Coming right here from the studios at Airport and 65. Go grab you a podcast or dozen out there. Plus, you can subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, all those places. All right. My buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, joining us. And just in the nick of time, because you said, you and I were talking during the news break, God forbid we did, but you said that the Pennsylvania story that Congressman Brooks, you were listening, Congressman Brooks was just laying out, it's been disproven? What are the facts here? That's what I want. I want facts.
So he was talking about these state officials, he's right, they're lawmakers, local officials, and this accountant that sort of led the effort. We're talking about how, you know, the state records online, the county records weren't matching the, you know, how many people actually voted that was reported that night. And he's right. The only problem is it was a data lag.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm.
So these counties, including the largest county in Pennsylvania, just they didn't have all the votes reporting in on their online system. So it's correct until, you know, it caught up. The data caught up. It'd be as if Baldwin County, you know, all the votes were counted and everything, but they weren't quite uploaded onto the state system yet. It's basically what you're dealing with. So, yeah, they were right, but the information caught up. And now that's the new information. And so that's the problem you have with a lot of these mm-hmm. voter fraud allegations, especially the giant ones, right? I mean, like, you know, all these felons
big ones,
voting
yes.
in Georgia and all. Yes. I mean, it's not that they were, you know, some of them may have had some basis in reality, but they were eventually disproven. But once they enter the echo chamber, they get repeated and repeated, and people just take it as fact. And that's not a fact. The Pennsylvania thing was busted a long time ago.
Okay, and that's what it was in my mind. That's what I was trying to come up with. I said it was something to do with the data lag in that story. And the right thing you're saying there is that the echo chamber. I wrote that in my show notes, and I went straight to the conversation with Congressman Brooks, so really didn't do my soliloquy or my monologue here as I got started. But you know, I was asking the question here when you know, people are shutting down Facebook or shutting down their Twitter accounts. And, you know, I pointed out that if I boycotted every business that wanted to silence conservatives, I'd only be buying like heirloom seeds and freeze-dried food and my pillow. So, I mean, there'd be nothing left for me. So if you start shutting down these and going to, and they shut Parler down, and I'm bothered by the censoring of conservative voices at the same time, if you go to something, if it becomes like the all-conservative chat or whatever, you never get that piece of information, right? And that doesn't make you less conservative, but I think you do yourself a disservice if you don't hear the other side of the story and then gauge if that information is true.
Yeah, well, count me as among those that say, as a person who is addicted to Twitter, right, I think we should do away with all of it and just go back to phones and fax machines. That'd be just fine with me. But I think you're right, and I preach this all the time. You have to be a discerning news consumer. If you hear something, if you read something that just blows your mind because it is so infuriating or so literally just hard to believe, well, maybe it's not true. Maybe it deserves a little follow-up and some research. I always tell my family and friends, if you see something, because people will text me all the time, hey, what about this? What about this? Like, wait, I can't spend all my day like debunking
right.
myths and everything. Just do a little research. And so I think that applies to everybody. I always tell folks, if you see something on a conservative site, it's okay to go look up a non-conservative site, or vice versa. If you see something that's crazy out there, Looney Tunes liberal, well, do some Googling and figure out what the alternative is. A lot of times, it'll be right there somewhere in the middle.
Well, yes, and yes, but there's not a lot of places there in the middle that we trust for facts. And that's the problem, right? So you go to a story and you go to try to find the basis of it or any explanation, then you find that. And then if you present that as an argument, somebody says, well, those people are lying. Well, not having time to get in the, you know, strap on the jetpack and go get a polygraph machine and go interview everybody quoted in every story, we all kind of go, I don't know what to do here.
Well, it's definitely true that when you talk about reporters from New York Times, Washington Post, places like that, a lot of them I know and are great reporters, but when they write, a lot of times that the lens they put on their words is left-leaning. And so that's what's infuriating. It's not that the facts are just off, they're not just making up stuff, but it's that it's so painted as liberal. And that's what I'm saying about being a news discerning news consumer. You've got to understand that going in and sort of if you understand it and accept that they are crazy left-leaning, then you don't have to worry so much about that. You're just searching for facts. But like today, I mean, talking about Antifa involved in this this riot.
Yeah, you led off in the email with this, learning more about the Capitol riot and the rioters. Now, go through this, and this is going to probably make people angry, but you're going through trying to get the facts here. So kind of walk through this.
Well, it's not me. I am presenting what, you know, the facts that have been laid out, and this is not me. This is the FBI. The Federal Bureau of Investigation has arrested, between them and local law enforcement, 120 people. That number is higher. That was this morning. That number is higher today. They've been arrested. They've been charged with crimes. They're looking for a lot more based on facial recognition. I mean, you've seen all the pictures. You know, they know these people are. And so there may have been one or two Antifa Black Matters people identified. But to even pretend like the majority were Antifa or, you know, left-leaning groups is just a suspension of disbelief. That's not me. This is the FBI. These are the people that are going after and charging with crimes and looking up their social media accounts. I mean,
Let me play the internet. Okay, this is the problem. So you read through that story. I don't even have to open up my text line. They'll be saying, well, the FBI is doing this because they're wanting to, they're going after Trump. I mean, you see what I'm saying? That it goes there. Somebody will say, well, why can you trust the FBI? Look what's happened with the FBI. Look at the way they put their finger on the thumb in the past. I mean, their thumb on the scale in the past.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to those.
I mean, that's the problem. There is, and people are so ready to go to the mattresses, go to their corner on that, that the second you present, well, the FBI has arrested these 120, we're looking at these people being supporters of President Trump, and they're going to immediately say, well, that's the FBI doing it. I believe there was a mix. I said that from the word go. I'm waiting to see if I'm right or wrong. The people that said there was no way there were outside agitators involved, I said, I don't think that will be shown to be accurate. And those that said there were no Trump supporters in there, I don't think that's shown to be accurate.
Yeah, I mean, there's
anarchist.
It was a massive crowd of Trump supporters. There could have been a handful of Antifa types. I'm absolutely convinced of that. But I mean, my eyes don't deceive me. I saw it all happen. And what this is, and I'm writing a column about this. I'll encourage you to read tomorrow. Is that this all comes down to cognitive dissonance. We are all so entrenched and so needing to be right about things. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to. It is human nature to not want to be wrong about things, or to, if you have a really strongly held belief, we don't want to give that up. It's just human nature. When Auburn is playing football or basketball, you will see me on Twitter going after the refs, because it's got to be their fault. It wouldn't be that Auburn's not as good as I thought, right? And we're just living in this cognitive dissonance echo chamber, because when people will avoid being presented with information that counters their deeply held belief, or if they are encountered with that information that counters their belief, they tend to rationalize their own belief and say, no, it's not true. So I don't know what to say when you leap from just because the FBI has arrested 120 people and they're Trump supporters, well, the FBI's out to get Trump. I mean, I don't know where else you go with that. And that's the logical path that we've gone down with refusing to even consider information that's counter to your own is what leads to people storming the Capitol. Because if I truly believe in my heart, in my soul, in my core, that this election was stolen, and the president and Mo Brooks and others say go to the Capitol, it's really not that crazy to storm the halls of government. If I truly believe that my republic that I love so much has been stolen, then it's not crazy at all to go, crack down the windows. So we got to be really careful about the road that we go down with refusing to accept reality.
You mentioned President Trump and Congressman Brooks. Do you feel that they were responsible?
I don't think that's the reason the riot happened, but it didn't help. Again, that crowd was full of, not all of them, but many thousand, I mean, at least a couple of thousand people, was full of people that absolutely believed that the election was stolen from them. They believed that, you can go back months, but there are lots of reasons for that. And so you're not talking about rational actors. And when they hear things like, go to the Capitol, stop by the Capitol, go kick ass and take names. It's not the reason they did it. It's not the only reason they did it, but it's a factor, and it didn't help. One reason why it doesn't help is because those are voices of authority. When you're a member of Congress, you're a voice of authority, and you're lending credence and authority to some of these things. And so, there are lots of factors. Those were one.
Yeah, but can't you argue, if you say that, okay, to play the other side of this, isn't that prior restraint? Isn't that a situation where you limit free speech because of perceived outcomes?
You can say,
I mean,
you
I'm just
whatever
asking,
you
right?
Want.
I mean, prior restraint doctrine.
I'm not saying that what they said at the rally should be banned by any law. What I'm saying is, A congressman and certainly a president ought to be a lot more responsible about the words that come out of their mouth. You see what played out on TV, and I think it proves it. And so, prior restraint, I'm not restraining anybody from their speech. I'm saying be responsible.
You know, one of the things that gets thrown out in this discussion always, like, where was the media, during Black Lives Matter and the rioting that went on? I think you see a pretty good example of people that during the day were protesting at Black Lives Matter events and protesting using the First Amendment rights. And I think most fair-minded Americans support that. Then you'd have riots break out. I condemn that then, so I would be inconsistent and I wouldn't be myself if I didn't condemn what happened last week in Washington. I really am not focused on the side. I'm focused on the outcome, right? And maybe people say, well, they feel like it was time. This republic, the only way they could save it was doing this. But I think I'm not ready to bail on the republic at this point.
Well, I hope not. It was a scary day, and as somebody who worked in that building and lived a block away for several years, it was really scary. Obviously, all the congressmen and their staff, they've talked about that day. And it was just sad to see. And so hopefully we can't take it back. We don't have a time machine, but all we can do is try to learn from it. And that's my message to not necessarily your listeners. I'm really talking to members of Congress, staff, everybody to say, all right, we've got to be really careful about the road we go down with rhetoric. And that was certainly true back during the Black Lives Matter stuff. I think some of the violent rhetoric, I don't like false equivalencies, but I don't think this is one. You go down that road, and you saw what some people did.
Yep.
With the riots back then. Same thing here. And so we got to be responsible in our rhetoric.
You know, another part of this, this is just, and I don't know how many people are behind this, just because something trends on Twitter, you know, when you have a platform that's global, you can have enough people that feel that, you know, we will report things. Media will report things like, well, this is trended on Twitter. It doesn't mean many people are behind it. But this whole, you know, hang Pence thing, I think it bothered me the most when on the day of the riots, it immediately after Vice President Pence, you know, did what he did, he thought he was constitutionally bound to not do, immediately he was called anything but a conservative. And that, to me, was laughable. That all of a sudden, Mike Pence, who's this stalwart, you know, rock rib Republican, is now, needs to be hung and is a liberal and a pedophile. And a, you know, go down the list.
Yeah, well, and knowing Mike Pence, not just through the vice presidency, not just through governor of Indiana, he was a congressman for a long time. He was the chairman of the Republican conference. And you don't get that position without being a very conservative guy. He's among the most conservative in the House. That is a little laughable. But the video, the latest video that I saw, I guess yesterday, but it's included in our top story today, this really truly made me sick to my stomach, because they're dragging a Capitol Police, two yep. Capitol Police officers out, beating them with American flags.
Yeah, beating with an American flag. Exactly. Beating with an American flag, a Capitol Police officer, now dead. You know, now we have two dead.
Yeah. We have two Capitol Police officers dead. Of course,
for doing their job.
Up to six total now. Yeah. So it's just, it was just sickening to see that. You don't think that human beings are capable of that, much less Americans who, you know, are ostensibly engaging in a political process. So just really scary stuff. And like I said, hopefully we can all learn from it.
Coming right back, more Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We'll talk about how to get that email in your inbox, let alone national issues coming up next month. They're back in session in Montgomery. We'll talk to Todd about that. Also, this move forward with impeachment. Is this Pelosi trying to spike the football here? Got my opinion. We'll get that when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, coming right back to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. I do want to check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM as we get another week started. Hey, Larry.
Good afternoon. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. Let's talk inventory. How you looking?
Inventory is great. We got a whole bunch more coming this week. So, like I said, we seem to sell them a little bit faster, and we can get them on the web page all the time. So if somebody's looking for something in particular, just call us. We can have it or have it coming, or we can find it.
Yeah, that's one of the things you've taught me over time, that because I was looking at trucks with you, and you're like, they're going to make it to the website, but it's good to come out and check, because sometimes y'all got stuff that shows up and, you know, somebody can buy it within a day or two.
Absolutely. We had an example this morning. We had a Dodge truck we had two people trying to buy it, and well, it's gone. And it never made it to the webpage.
All right. So good reason for people to come see you in person. How do they find you?
Highway 90 at Plantation Road. Visit us online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. Continue our conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. If people want to get the email, how do they do it?
Oh, it's real easy. Just go to, like you said, aldailynews.com. Click sign up at the top in your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. Lots of news, and as you mentioned before, we're less than a month away from the legislative session, so that's really starting to heat up.
Yeah, I want to get into that if we have time, just a couple minutes left. I do want to get your take on this push for impeachment. It sure seems like Nancy Pelosi, this is just straight raw politics I-1 kind of stuff. How about your take?
I'm not surprised that she's moving forward with it, and the interesting thing is the Senate Majority Leader has already said the Senate won't have time to even if they had the numbers, they wouldn't have time to take it up. So this really moves into the post-Trump world, which is really fascinating, even from a constitutional perspective, if that's even possible. So, but look, the House is going to pass it, right? So, I mean,
of course.
They're going to pass an impeachment resolution. And so how and when the Senate takes that up will be really interesting, especially considering the Senate is about to be Democratic, at least by one vote.
Is this about hamstringing possible candidate Donald J. Trump in 2024?
I think so, because what difference does it make after Trump leaves office to impeach him? He's already gone. But there are some that say that the Constitution leaves it open to barring somebody who's been impeached, whether that's a federal judge or a congressman or anybody else, from holding public office in the future. And that's never been tried before. We don't know. That would probably go all the way up to the top. But that's to me the only reason why you'd even bring it up, knowing that the Senate's not going to take it up until after January 20th.
All right, and just a minute left here as we talk about Alabama in session. I saw the story, which is not a new story. You and I have been talking about it, but everybody running with it today, how the revenues look in 2020. You would think it would be bad, but courtesy of internet shopping, I guess it's good.
Absolutely. Simplified sellers and use tax has been a huge boon for the state budget, particularly the general fund. So, look, everybody thought, 10 months ago that our state was going to have a really bad revenue problem from COVID. That has not materialized. So it's actually some really good news. No proration, no budget cuts. We'll see what that means going forward, but lawmakers will at least have some money to play with.
Don't
to
say
fill
that,
the different holes.
Todd. Don't play with that. You talk about that. Now I'm going to take that. I'm going to say Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, says the legislators play with money.
Well, that's a figure of speech. There are all,
I'm giving you
every year there are different needs, and so it's nice to have money as opposed to
not
shortfalls.
Having,
that's all I mean.
That's for sure. All right, brother. I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Sean, be good.
There he is. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. I know a bunch of y'all have signed up for his email over time. It's a great thing. It makes you well informed as you get your day started. So check it out. All right, coming right back, hour number two. We'll take some calls next.